Grace to you and peace from the one who made, created, restored, and redeems all things, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Kings. What sort of image do kings bring to your mind? Think about kings. Well, we haven't had one here in our part of the world for a little while. But if you think of the kings of Europe, and if you think of the kings that you've known in history, which are the ones that you remember the most? In the first service, I said, so Louis XVI, what does that bring to mind? And I got this the same blank stare that I'm getting from you. And you're thinking back to high school history now, Louis XVI, but one very astute person, and there, see the French guy? Jean-Paul says, he was a traitor. Yeah. So often when we think of the word king, at least when I think of the word king, I'm struck back to the negative stuff that we hear about people who become king and they abuse their power and abuse their people, who lead their nations to ruin. Of course, not all kings were that way. Not all queens were that way. And so when we, as sort of folks who come out of a milieu where it's been a little while since we've had a king, when we hear this Christ the King Sunday, our minds can be filled with all kinds of stuff. In the gospel, or in the lessons that we have for today, there are all sorts of images of kings. In that wonderful text from Daniel, all the thrones were set in place, and the ancient one took his throne, and his throne was fiery flames, and his wheels were burning fire, and a stream of fire issued from it and flowed in his presence. Now that's a king. And 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. Power. And it says, as I watched in the night vision, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingship. In Revelation, we hear again of a king. Look, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. And on his account, all of the tribes of the earth will wail. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come. These images of kings bring to mind power and majesty and glory. If you think back to the kings of history, where do kings get their power? This is not a rhetorical question. Where? Speak clearly. Where do kings get their power? They take it, okay? Yes, from the military, from the armies. Earlier somebody said, the people. And I said, you've been in a democracy too long. Kings get their power through their armies. There's no question about it. If you don't obey the king, what happens? They stick their army on you. You're done. It is a kingship based in power. And power that is power over your life and your death. Into this image of kingship, we overlay Christ. There he stands before Pilate on the last day. And Pilate, as he enters the headquarters, summons Jesus and says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Do you ask this of your own? Or did someone tell you about me?" And Pilate says, "Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world." Do you hear that? For once, the right translation. How did you learn this phrase? I learned it, "My kingdom is not of this world." Ooh. Kings of this world get their power from violence and from their armies. And in this little tiny phrase, Jesus says, that's not the kind of kingdom I have. My kingdom is not from this world. And then he says, and if it was, you would know, because all of my followers would have come and crushed you and would never have let you take me. But my kingdom is not from this world. And Pilate asked him, "So, are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who listens to me, listens to my voice, belongs to the truth." And then, unfortunately, the pericope choosers left out the best line. Pilate says, "What is truth?" This king whose power is not from this world says that he was brought into the world to bear witness to the truth. Now, in the Gospel of John, the opposite of truth is not lies. The opposite of truth is unrighteousness. And so for the gospel writer, there is this dialectic drawn between what it means to be king, who is judged on their history, and the king who brings truth and righteousness. That's the world, that's the king that God sends into the world descending in clouds. It isn't the God who enforces her will with might, but with love. With love. Pilate cannot understand that sort of monarchy, that sort of king. A king that rules in love? How do you measure that kind of king? How do you figure out what kind of power that sort of king has over the world? And yet, this is our king. History judges monarchs by their accomplishments, by what they've done, and by what they have left undone. We remember Louis XVI as a narcissistic, crazy man. We remember King Kamehameha both for the wonderful things that the king did, and for his faults. We remember every ruler and every monarch with a laundry list of things that tell us whether this was a good king or a bad king. And how shall we measure this king of love? We begin in Scripture. Begin to list it off. This king who created all things, who for in the Gospel of John was there from the very beginning and made all things. This king who created life and breathed the Spirit into it. This God who led the people of Israel out of slavery into the promised land and sent his only son to die, that we might have life. That is the truth of this king. And everyone who belongs to that truth, who hears the voice of that truth, lives in that love. So I wonder, how will we measure ourselves in history as the disciples of that king? What will be our measure and our legacy as God's people? How will we count out the minutes of our lives as the ones who follow that Christ, the King, the Christ of righteousness? In the play Rent, between the acts, there's a song that asks the same question. And it says there are 525,600 minutes in every year. And how will you measure it? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, or cups of coffee, that's my favorite. In inches, in miles, in laughter, or in strife, 525,600 minutes. Thank you. I was going to originally ask the choir to sing this and get up and I couldn't figure out how to put it in a Peter Hallett kind of thing. But how will you measure your life, your discipleship? And the song ends with, how about love? There is no greater measure for measuring our lives than love. The truth of the one who calls us to be disciples in the world and sends us out as servants to the one King, measured in love. Amen.